Were You Raised by Wolves podcast. And I guess the first thing I want to ask is, how did this happen? Like, what made you want to start a podcast where you help people navigate uncomfortable situations with either etiquette or, you know, dinner parties or awkward social awkwardness? How did this happen?
Sure. Well, first, thank you for having us. It is definitely a treat to be
here.
Thank
you for being here. We appreciate it.
Being invited places is always very nice. I think for me, this all started back at a time when things were getting a little tense out there. Things were feeling a little aggressive. I don't know if you've ever read a comment on the internet, but the tone of those comments was starting to feel like a little like, oh, I think maybe we've gone too far. And so I was sort of always very interested in like, oh, what can we do to bring the temperature down? Mm-hmm. And I knew Leah through a mutual friend, and Leah has a reputation for being one of the nicest people, which is true. And I was like, I don't know what this show could be, but I'm very interested in sort of exploring the idea of just like being nice to people and kind and mindful and etiquette and all that. And I was like, are you interested in trying this? And Leo was like, sure. So then we just sort of figured it out. And now we have this show weekly where people around the world write in all these amazing sticky situations and they want to get our take on it. And we're delighted to offer it.
That's awesome. And now, Nick, you're a journalist, correct?
Yes. Yes. I mean, I have Emmys. Whether or not we call that journalism, I don't know. I started with local television and I did a lot of red carpet stuff, interviewing celebrities. And then I hosted like live morning TV where you would have like the local congressperson and a penguin from the zoo. So I've sort of done it all.
At the same time?
Actually, that was, I think, the same episode. Alec Baldwin, a penguin, and like the congressman. So that was a fun episode. But I definitely approach everything with that journalistic sort of approach, which is like, let's get the facts and let's tell the story. And then let's sort of present it to the audience to put a full picture. So like a lot of the etiquette topics we talk about, it's sort of like, sure, there's like a rule, but like, why is there this rule? And like, how can we arrive at the same rule some other way? So that's how I approach things. Leah, on the other hand, she takes a different approach.
I come in the opposite direction on that one.
Yeah, I want to hear. So, and you are this like, this awesome comedian who's getting so much praise and accolades and so cool.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. I feel when Nick reached out to me, a lot of my comedy is about either like something that sort of set me off, like, why are people doing this? You know, when people like wear their backpacks on subways and knock into you, you know what I mean? It's like a 10-minute rant. Or it's about how I somehow mortified myself because I didn't know the social etiquette of a situation. And I got so anxious, I did the wrong thing, because that's my go-to. I'll overthink until I get to the absolute wrong way to handle things. So I found it very interesting. And then I think Nick and I are a nice complementary duo, because instead of handling things with like, what are the facts? How is this done? I'm like, what are my feelings? how have I not done it correctly? And then we sort of arrive in the middle, all with the hope that we can treat each other with kindness.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it is so relevant now. Either it's just because we're getting older and we're realizing and getting more crotchety and seeing what's going on out there, or things really, really are getting worse. Like Nick was saying before, you know, with the internet and watching people's comments, and like, in your opinion, like, I know you're not experts in this in any way, but are things getting worse, or are we just noticing it more, getting older, getting kind of set in our ways and what's right and what's wrong?
I think we're definitely noticing it a lot more, but people have always been rude.
And I think it could be both, by the way. It could be both answers. You know, it could be things are getting worse and we're getting older.
There's a lot of rude stuff in the Iliad. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I think definitely the internet makes it a lot easier to be rude to more people faster. So
yeah,
that's convenient,
and anonymously, yeah.
No, but I feel like
anonymously.
I feel like I'm seeing it more in real everyday life too.
So I feel like people pull the internet into their real life, and sometimes you want to say, hey, you realize this is not a video. You know, you just can't come up and comment.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like things are so divisive now that aren't even things that people used to argue about.
Right.
You know, like people will come in hard about opinions like paper towels or like oranges. I hate oranges. And you're like, does it need to be that tense?
Right. Or on the internet when someone says, you know, I hate oranges, and there's that meme that's like, and what about bananas and grapefruit and like, don't leave out the other fruits. And I mean, people just like will take one thing and run with it. And it just, I mean, it's gotten out of control.
Well, you see more and more, like in our local Facebook group, you'll see somebody ask, hey, does anybody know somebody? I bought my husband this thing that we have to build. Does anybody know anybody who could build it for us? And most of the comments are like, well, you know, if you read the directions, it's really easy if you just do it yourself. That's not what we asked.
Right.
You know, we asked if somebody knows, like, that's it. Just please answer the question.
Yeah.
You know, we don't need your, you know, we obviously can't do it ourselves, you know.
Yeah.
The internet has definitely encouraged everybody to comment. When sometimes we don't need to actually comment on everything. Not everything requires us to weigh in.
Right. An interesting story was that I had recently, we have a son who at the time was, I guess he was 9, and he just like couldn't learn to ride a bike. He was just struggling so much. He's not like very coordinated. And I never post on Facebook community pages ever. But I had seen something where somebody had put a phone number of a woman who teaches kids how to ride a bike. So I was like, I literally just said, can someone repost the phone number of that woman who teaches how to ride a bike? I got eaten alive by people. I mean, it was out of control. How can you not make memories teaching your kid to ride a bike? I mean, it was out. I mean, people were literally like, you know, and on the one hand, I was like, oh my God. First of all, you know what the next post was on that community page? Is there someone who can coach my son for soccer? And of course, they're like, oh, yeah, here is the, you know. But of course, because it was riding a bike, it was like a big deal. And I mean, I got eaten alive to the point where I finally started commenting on people's things like, you know what? Actually, my husband and I have decided we don't want our kids to have any good memories. So we're just, it was just, you know, it was just ridiculous. Like, you know, it's like so much for a community page where you're asking for help, you know. It's just like that whole community feeling, I feel like, it's just gone out the window.
Yes. And I think what's sort of disappointing is that if you are actually in a rec center in your town with all those same people and you ask somebody like, oh, hey, do you know who that had that phone number, like who I should ask, everyone to your face probably would actually be very polite and nice and would not be lecturing you about memories. Right. And so there is that thing that the internet makes very easy, that it just makes it way too easy to be rude. And so we have our work cut out for us.
No, definitely.
All right, we have plenty of other topics too, because we can go on with this forever.
Yeah.
You know, like this can just like the rolling thing with social media, right? So
yeah, it's pretty bad. But we recently did a couple episodes on, like, I want to say etiquette, but it wasn't even etiquette because I think we don't know much about the do's and don'ts. But I guess with the holidays coming up and everything, our big thing is, and don't get Adam started because he'll go off on a full rant. But
you mean just this topic or all the topics?
All the topics.
By the way, I'm so excited to do this, and I might, my excitement might come out a little too aggressively sometimes, because our podcast has nothing to do with these conversations. And I kind of wish it would from time to time, because I love this stuff.
We did this conversation.
Like once. Like, yeah. I love this stuff. So I'm really excited to like just be able to rant and vent about, you know, all these kind of.
And we just. Ranting and venting is the core.
We need
these
it.
Topics.
Yeah. You know?
Gotta let it out.
So when it comes to holidays and stuff, I guess our biggest thing that we're going to start with is tipping. Not just holidays, in general and everything. And Adam's philosophy is that it's kind of gotten out of control, and that there's those awkward, you know, those awkward moments where you're like at Panera and you walk up to the register and you're like, can I have a bagel? And then it's like, do you want to tip 15%, 20%, 25%? I mean, and then you feel like an asshole, obviously, if you don't tip. But what's going on with tipping? Is it out of control? Are we becoming cheap? Or we like,
well, it's not
happening?
Just that, but we're being guilted into doing it in that situation, right? Like, because they just flip over the screen while they're watching you and you have to choose no tip in front of their face, you know. So it's a guilt situation where, you normally in the past, this is not a tipping situation, but it's become one almost everywhere you go.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
I would say there's a lot of different reasons why we tip. And so I think that's the way to kind of approach this question. But like the screen at Panera, that's just an electronic tip jar. So I think you can treat it the same way as if there were just a mason jar that said tips on it. But there's lots of reasons why we tip. And I think if any of the reasons apply, you are welcome to tip. So sometimes we tip because we want to. We're just having a good day. And we're like, yeah, keep the change. Sometimes we tip because somebody did something nice for you. They went above and beyond. Panera was out of something, but you asked for it and they found it. Or I don't know how Panera works. I've never actually been. I hear it's great. They have apples, I guess, or chips. Is that how that works?
Yes, you can choose one.
I've heard about the choice. But
it's kind of become the mainstream. It's not just like
certainly with all the electronic
Panera,
payment. You know? Yeah. It definitely makes it very easy to do it. But I think you can hold your ground if you feel like this is not a tipping situation and you don't want to, then okay. But I think one of the reasons why we do tip in the United States in a lot of places is that it is an acknowledgement that our tipping system and our wage system is broken, that your tip right. is actually part of the wage. And so like in a restaurant, you do need to tip. Like that is sort of part of the deal. And so I think that's just important baseline to remember that like tipping is actually not always like a voluntary thing.
Well, yeah, when you go to a restaurant, you know, everybody pretty much knows what you just said, right? That they're not paid a fair wage.
You
and
would
tips...
think. You would think everybody really? Knows this. But I mean, the number of emails we get from people who work in the service industry who is like, oh, I didn't get tipped. Yeah, no, there's a lot of not tipping happening out there.
Okay, I mean, I thought it was kind of common knowledge that when you go to a restaurant, you know that they depend on tips, right? So you have the choice to go to a restaurant knowing that you have to tip whatever on top of whatever the meal is going to cost. If you're against that, don't go. Don't go out right. to eat, right? I mean, you have that choice. It's kind of all the other situations, right? Where if it's a Panera or if it's another place or if it's, you know, where they are making at least... maybe it's not a fair wage or whatever, but they're making minimum wage or more, right? And those tips are now expected, you know, whether it's Starbucks or where it's Panera or whether it's Dunkin' or where, you know, any those kinds of places where it's kind of become now it's the norm. You don't have to. Is it looked down upon if you don't? I don't know. I'm just, you know.
I think it's the same as a tip jar. So at Panera, right. I think if you don't want a tip, they didn't do anything for you. You're not in the mood. I think you are free to not tip if you don't want to. And you can just ignore the screen right. and that's the end of that. I think what you're noticing though, it is more common to be asked to be tipped in a lot of different situations. Mm-hmm. Like somebody just asked like, oh, do you have to tip when you're staying at an Airbnb? Like, should you tip your host?
Oh God, really? Right. Never would have thought of
that. We got that question that week. This
right?
week.
So it's sort of like, you know, so the idea of tipping, yes, it definitely is like, well, I think you should tip podcast hosts, really.
Right, exactly.
You listen to this
that
episode?
That makes sense.
I think you should tip us.
That's logical, at least. But it's such uncommon knowledge, and it's such a gray area, tipping, that's the worst part about it, that, like, if somebody comes to fix a thing in the house, an appliance, and Danielle will text me, am I supposed to tip this guy or girl, you know... I don't know. You know, like what are the situations? Like there's so many different situations where it's just not, we're in such a gray area of tipping in so many areas that nobody knows when you're supposed to and when you're not, other than like a restaurant, right?
But tipping is also regional. I mean, all etiquette is local. So the etiquette rules where you are is different from where I am, where Leah is in Los Angeles. Like
right.
the rules are always different. And that's what etiquette is inherently all about. It's like what a local community of people have agreed are the rules of behavior. And so, yeah, what you might tip for somebody to fix your fridge, it might be a different situation than somebody else. And so the best way to actually handle some of these, like, oh, do I tip, is actually to ask around in your community, like, oh, mm-hmm. what is done? What's typical? What is normal in this situation? And then there's maybe some conversation with other people about like, oh, what do you do and what feels expected?
Right. I know. When we first started dating, Adam and I, we used to argue about tipping the housekeepers and to me, I was like, oh my God, of all the places in all the world to tip, this is the place. Like, they are changing your sheets. They are, you know, all kinds of stuff. Like, you're leaving and you're sort of like, well, they'll never see me again, so I'll just leave behind, you know. But I would tip them more than just about anybody, you know. So I think, though, that, like, Adam never even thought about it. People didn't even think about it.
Like, tipping housekeeping in a hotel? Yeah.
Housekeeping at a hotel. Did I not say that?
No, I didn't know if you meant in your own home. My first job was housekeeping.
At a hotel, yeah.
I cleaned hotels when I was a young teenager.
It's hard.
It's so much work. So, I mean, they often have the little envelope, or you just throw down a couple bucks on the table or the desk or whatever they have. I always tip housekeeping.
Yeah. And also, you should tip every day of your stay, because the person cleaning your room might be different. So you don't necessarily want to wait till the end of your stay to do the big tip.
Right.
See, like, we need a book. Like, we need to know every situation, outline, like.
I mean, here's the thing, though. There's a lot of books out there right. that actually have this in there.
Right. No, but like a common knowledge, available. Like, court exam, like when you're in high school or something, this needs to be a course that we all can know and agree and learn. When's it right to tip, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess the thing with us also is that I think also we have three kids. And so, you know, it gets a little bit crazy, because then you have, you know, tutors, and you have, you know, like, people teaching instruments and this and that. And, like, it gets to a point around the holidays where you're like, where is the line? You know what I mean? Where is the line? Because by the time you're done, it's just like, you feel like you're depleted of, you know, it's like time to buy gifts. And you're like, I don't know where the boundary is for who I'm tipping, who I'm not tipping. What are the guidelines? Just like, it gets to be to the point where you're just like, I can't do it. So, you know, and then you feel like a jerk because, you know, I tipped this person and not. So I don't know. Around the holidays, I just feel like it gets extra complicated.
I feel like with some people that are in your life regularly, you could. I'm just throwing out an idea. If it feels overwhelming, maybe you make like a huge batch of like homemade candy or cookies, and you write nice thank you cards, and you do a cute little bag, and you say, you know, so grateful. And then you do like less of whatever you were going to tip out. And then there's also a gift, because I think the point is to show gratitude.
You're so from California, by the way, with that response.
I'm not at all. I'm from Maine, and I live in New York for 20 years.
But in New York, I mean, we do a lot of holiday tipping. That's definitely culturally like a thing. But I think you start with a budget first, and don't go over your budget of what you want to do for your holiday tips. Mm. And yeah, I think like Leah said, it's about showing gratitude. These are people in your lives who are making your lives easier, hypothetically. They're doing something for you. And instead of tipping them throughout the year, that you kind of wait until the end of the year as like, oh, this year, thank you so much for everything you did for the last 12 months. And I want to acknowledge that. And I appreciate that. And like, here's a little something that sort of symbolizes that gratitude. And that's the point. Right. It's not necessarily like how much cash is in that envelope. Like, it's more important to actually write a nice note with the cash rather than the cash itself. Obviously, they want the cash. Mm-hmm. But the nice note is also needs to be part of it. Like, I don't want you just to hand an envelope without a note attached to it.
Right. On the same lines of with holidays and everything, I don't know. I wanted to talk a little bit about regifting. Because is it tacky? Is it ever okay?
It is, like, if you get caught. Don't get caught.
Well, that's
we're
the thing
big,
is that
we're
when you
big regifters. We're big regifters as long as nobody knows.
Right.
Yeah, well, you can't regift to the person who gave you the gift. Like,
well, you also can't regift in the same circle. You right. gotta move okay. circles.
But do you even remember who gave it to you? You know? Like, I don't know. Are you even
sticky tape on it?
That's a little too much organization for Danielle.
Yeah, no.
You just have a little sticky tape right. I have a basket right next to me, and this is a little behind the curtain. Basket next to me of things that I've gotten that are lovely, but that are just inappropriate for me. I know who gave it to me. They're going to go right back out.
Right. So now what about giving those instead of tips to people?
Well, the rule for regifting is it still has to be a good gift.
Yeah.
It has to be something you would give to the person anyway. So we're not giving a set of steak knives to your vegan friend. So it does need to still be in the world.
Right, right. But it's not considered, I mean, I guess it's considered tacky, like you said, if you get caught. But I mean.
Well, then it makes it tacky in itself, right?
Well, if it's perfect for somebody you know, I think why wouldn't it be okay to give it to that person?
Right, right. What about return? Okay, what about like, here's the thing, because we've had this happen many, many times. A relative or someone for the holidays gets you or your kid or something, just something horrendous, like a sweater or whatever.
Is this a hypothetical question? Or
no, I mean, happens early in our family. We've had this happen before.
What was the gift? Do you remember? What was the gift? Do you remember?
I don't think it would be that bad without knowing the situation, right?
Because the word horrendous, I'm like, the mind wanders.
Here's something. This is, I think we've spoken about this in an episode. When my daughter was born, my first child was born, we received a sweater. It was fine. Nothing, you know, spectacular. We received a sweater from I'm not going to name names, but a distant relative. And, my daughter had just been born. I was struggling when she was born. And 3 weeks after I got the gift, we received, this was old person, and this was 2005, so, not huge internet stuff. We get something in the mail from the relative. He's dead now, so I probably could say his name. But that says, 3 weeks ago, we sent you a present, a sweater for your daughter, and we have not gotten a thank you. We will assume that A, you did not receive the sweater.
This is a note that you received.
That we received in the mail.
Okay, B, little follow up. Okay.
B, you received the sweater and did not like it. Mm-hmm. Or C, you received the sweater and just have decided not to send us a thank you.
Wow.
Or D, I just gave birth and stuff is happening.
100%.
Or I just had a child.
Yes.
Right?
And I am exhausted.
I was
and three
so
weeks,
pissed.
21
wow.
days.
I would okay. be so, I would be as well.
I was so, and they're old. So you want to kind of give them the benefit of the doubt.
This was not happening in the Gilded Age. Mrs. Astor was not sending nasty notes to her relatives wondering if you got the crystal gravy boat. No.
Right. Right. I mean, to me, I was just sort of wait a minute. First of all, I want to know where you guys stand on thank you notes for new parents in general, because
I mean, it kind of relates to anything, I think. I think it's all in the same category, whether it's a wedding or a baby or a birthday or anything.
I think baby sticks out the most.
For obvious reasons. But I think in general, the etiquette of thank yous should be the same.
I don't know. Fuck
yeah. No.
Well, the general point is that if somebody does something nice for you, you want to acknowledge that. We want to live in a world in which when people do things that are nice, you acknowledge that. That's, I think, a world we all want to live in. And one of the ways we do that is through this thank you note. We've kind of agreed as a society, that's one way we do it. It's not the only way. Lots of different ways to show gratitude, but that's one way. And you want to show that gratitude relatively promptly, because if you don't, then the person wonders did they want that thing, or do they like it, or why haven't I heard, or maybe they didn't get it at all. And you don't want to make somebody feel that way or wonder that they've been ghosted with your gift. So that's the idea. But I mean, new parents, you got to give new parents a lot of slack here. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you did not send that note in a year when the kid outgrows that sweater, well, then maybe that's too long. But 3 weeks feels like you're really pushing it before you send a nasty note. And you should never send the nasty note. Lots of other ways to find out if you got it. We're hey, right. We sent you a sweater. Wasn't sure if you got it. The postal service, right? That would have been a much nicer way.
Totally.
And you could have been oh my goodness, we never said thank you note. And then it's oh, okay.
Yeah, but I was enraged when that happened.
I think I agree with what you're saying. If the situation was, let's say, Danielle had just had a baby. It was 3 weeks later. And a relative or somebody was like, hey, I see you're going through a lot of shit. Let me help you and take the baby for a day and you can have a day to relax or 2 days or whatever. That's a one-on-one exchange. Let me send a thank you. You really helped.
Yeah.
Showing your gratitude for something. But if you're having a wedding or you had a baby or you had a birthday party for or whatever the occasion and there's 100 people there. and they give you a gift. All right, you know, you say thank you and they give it to you. That's enough, right? I mean, like, you had a baby, no. You just got married. Like, you have to sit and write 200
in the United States, we say no.
What's that?
No is the answer. No.
No, that you have to do thank you notes.
For wedding gifts, yes, you do. And if you don't, then we hear from our listeners about people who did not send thank you notes for the wedding gifts that they sent.
And they're pissed. Yes. Yeah.
I mean,
they're not happy about it because they made a lot of effort to find something for you, buy it. They showed up at your wedding. They sent it to you. And you can't even say thank you. So people do not like that.
What about people who do a generic thank you and send the same thank you, like, to everybody?
I think it just comes down to, are you expressing gratitude with that generic thank you? And if you received that generic thank you, how would you feel? Like, would that feel nice? And would you feel like whatever it is you did was, like, acknowledged? Or would it feel a little empty? So, I mean, it's up to you to decide whether or not the thank you is sufficient. But I think a lot of people would feel like, oh, that doesn't quite feel personal enough.
Right. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Like, if I get a thank you in the mail, I open it to see it's a thank you and toss it before I even read the thing. Like, I don't care. Like, I have no interest in
receiving. Yeah, I don't know. Leah, do you get upset if you don't receive a thank you? And, like, do you care or...
I always send out thank yous.
Okay.
For gifts, you know, for things that people went out of their way for. If I gave something to a friend's kid and they sent me a picture on the cell, like,
yeah, that's
cell
what
phone
I
picture
do.
Of the kid with wearing it and, like, yeah. A thank you so much, but some kind of acknowledgement that they got it, that way you're not worried that they got it. And I do think that thank you cards after a wedding is pretty standard.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I mean I do that with what you said about taking a picture, like if the kids get a toy or something from somebody, I try to, you know, send a picture like, look, they love it.
When the kids get a toy, our 17, 14, and 11
year olds. Well, when they did. But when, you know, when they did, I used to do that and take a picture. I just, you know, because I, first of all, am not, we just did a whole episode on ADHD and I'm not diagnosed with ADHD, but he is and some of our kids are and stuff. And, like, I always say to people, don't write me a thank you. I don't want a thank you. Like, if they send a picture or something, I'm super excited. I also always say, like, return it. Like, please do not feel like if you don't like this, return it. You know, I mean, I don't know. I always feel like, why not? I mean, you want them to have something that they want. But I guess that. For me, I've been on the other end of it that, like, first of all, you never know what's going on in somebody's life or whatever, and ADHD, mental health, all that stuff, I'm always sort of like, all right, they didn't have time to write me a thank you note. Sometimes I would, if I sent it in the mail, I would text and be like, I just want to make sure you got it, you know, but please, you know, don't, like, and sometimes be like, oh my God, I love it. Yeah, I'm so sorry. I've been so busy. But, you know, I guess on my end, I sort of feel like with life and everything, when I give a gift, I just kind of like want to give a gift. And now I know a lot of people don't feel that way. But on the other end, I guess I get upset when people get upset at me for not sending a thank you, because I'm also the type of person who, if you go out of your way and I'm not feeling well and, you know, you bring me chicken soup or you do something, you know, that, like, something like that, I'm going to text you later or whatever and send you, like, a long ass text being like, that was so heartfelt and special and blah, blah. And people will tell us that we have really well-mannered kids, but we suck at making our kids write thank you notes. Like, I would just hands down say, we suck at it. I mean, our son had a bar mitzvah last year and, like, you know, he's the type of kid who, like, you know, like the party planner said to us, your son is the only person who's ever come up to me after the party and been like, this was so amazing, blah, blah, blah. But I think he probably wrote, I don't know, 40 of 100 thank yous, which I thought was pretty good. So I don't know. To me, it's hard, but I also get the other side of it, you know, that especially for older generations, that this is something, you know, that, like, they're not on social media a lot, some of them, they can't, you know, use email. So I get it. But I guess it's something that I'm hoping is fading or changing. I don't know.
Well, wait, which part is fading? Just the need to send thank you notes?
The actual, like, snail mail, you have to send a thank you.
So I think in response, nobody has to do anything. I mean, no one's going to go to etiquette jail. Right. Like, you don't have to send thank you notes for your wedding.
I mean,
like, no
if
problem.
You have a mother-in-law, you might go to etiquette jail.
Right?
But or you might prefer to go to etiquette jail.
But I think why notes are nice and why I think handwritten notes won't go away, and I think the whole point of them is that they actually do take a little more effort. It's actually not a lot of effort. I can write a handwritten note about the same amount of time it takes me to write an email. Like, I can pretty much do those two things in about the same 90 seconds.
Right.
120. And I think the whole point of the note is that because it takes a little more effort, you had to have a little paper, needed some stamps, you needed to walk by a mailbox. That kind of is all comes together. And when somebody receives it, they're like, oh, you took some time to think about the thing I did for you. And you put pen to paper to say what that meant to you. And now we close the loop on that. And the whole point is that it actually does take a little more effort. And that's nice because that's thoughtful. And thoughtfulness is kind of what we're going for. If you can send a long, detailed thank you text after chicken soup, that's great. And that's thoughtful too. And like that achieved the same, you know, neurotransmitter release in my brain when I receive it. So that's fine. You could do that too. But I think the handwritten note is this nice way to do that. And the impact that these have is so disproportionate to the effort required to do them. Like, I know some thank you notes I've sent people years ago, they remember them, they saved them. It comes up in conversation again, and people remember that kind of thing. People don't always remember text messages they got. Right. So there is something nice about that keepsake. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. I mean, I think, you know, your kids may discover they like it at some point. They may discover that by doing it, they actually get more goodies and treasure and their relationships are better. And they get the job after sending the thank you note to the interviewer, where the 99 other people who did not send that handwritten thank you note did not get that job. So there's a lot of benefit to doing it. They are totally selfish. And that's fine. I'll take a selfish thank you note. It doesn't always have to be altruistic.
Right. I guess that's the thank you note thing for that is interesting because, you know, with applying to schools and stuff with my kids, that I'm like a stickler about. But I guess when it's, you know, someone who's we know or what, I'm not quite as much of a stickler, which makes no sense because you would think that you'd want to thank
somebody. Well, no, I think it's what I was saying, where when it's one to one, you're on top of that stuff, right? Like when one thing happens and you want to show your appreciation, you do.
Yeah.
When it's an event, when there's 200 or 100 people, that's when it becomes a, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. All right.
I think one thing to say about weddings, because we do hear this a lot. We're like, oh, I just had a big wedding and now I have 200 thank you notes to write. The thank you note actually should be sent when you get the gift. It's not after the wedding. So if you get a gift 4 months before your wedding, send the thank you note. And by doing that, now it doesn't become this overwhelming thing. Just send them when the gifts come in.
Right. Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
We should remember that for next time.
I know, next time. Yeah. I'm going to do that. do you want to ask them about business stuff, store stuff?
I have to try to
Don't go off too
no I can't like it's gonna be I have a retail store, right? And so out in New Jersey, right, we have this retail store, so I see a lot of, I don't know if I see it more because I have a store, even if I'm shopping in another store, like, all right, let me take a breath. I want to know, what is the proper etiquette of, for just one example of, let's say a customer in a store, right? You can see, I don't even want to say for the most part, shoppers are, how do I put it?
Slobs,
irresponsible, self-indulgent, like, somebody else will take care of my mess, or somebody else will take care. And I've seen it in my store. I've seen it in other stores. I see it wherever I go. Like when you go to a clothing store, there's just clothes everywhere, right? And like when I'm walking up and down the aisles of my store, there's just shit everywhere, right? And I see it. And they do it in front of me. They know who I am. They know what, you know, who I am at the store, right? So why is that okay? Like, is it okay?
No, those people are rude.
But it's most people.
I don't think
most people are rude.
Okay.
That covers it.
Like, I feel like it's an accepted thing by the, I don't know, is there some customer organization thing that I'm not aware of that they have a rule that that's okay? Like, I don't know. Like, it's not just one or two here and there. It's for the most part.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, people are rude. Okay. And you want to be like, oh, well, do you do this in your own home? A lot of people do. So it may not be personal. This just may be the way they live their lives. But
I don't know.
I think some people feel like there's a certain anonymity when you're shopping. And so maybe because they feel anonymous somehow, they feel like they could just sort of toss sweaters on the floor, yeah. Maybe.
Right.
I have two things. One, I feel like I'm actively working against this, where sometimes when it's late at night, I'll go into stores and just put things back. I do it all the time in my local pharmacy. It calms me down. I'm not going to clean my own home, but I will clean up a store. And the other, this comic, Lisa Traeger, who I think is so funny, has this great joke, which I think applies. I always get mad at people driving, especially here in Los Angeles. Ugh. So rude. And I'm always like, I can't believe this. What? How are you acting this way? Like, why would you do that? And then she has this joke about saying people who, the joke is, why do you get mad at people who are driving and be like, how could you act like this? Have you met people in real life? And that's right. So every time I go to yell, I'm like, this is so true. This right. is, of course they're doing this.
Right.
But it's not all people. There are, I think, a lot of people that don't do that. It's just, unfortunately, the garbaggio really, you know, smells more.
Right. And I guess there's sort of this, I have to go home and clean my own home. And, you know, there are people working here. And, you know, so I'm not going to do it in the dressing room, or I'm going to leave my clothes behind, or this is what they're paid for, or that whole thing. But, yeah, I mean, another thing is, especially around the holidays and everything, one thing, my daughter, who works in our family business, will sometimes come home and be like, you know, she'll get home a little bit late, and she doesn't get home until like 6:15 or 6:30 on a Saturday from working anyway. She's a teenager, she wants to go out or whatever, and she'll come home like, somebody came into the store at 5:55, we close at 6 o'clock. And she's, you know, so angry. And I guess that's something also that I think people don't think about, you know, that it's sort of rude.
We just got this question, and that's why
I left. Yeah?
And
so tell me.
Sorry if you just heard my stomach rumble. I just went wild. hope that didn't pick it up. We just had somebody, that exact question, that they were working at a store and somebody came in at like 3:55 and then acted like, oh, did you close at 4? And then spent like 45 minutes walking around. And I think it's the same thing, that sometimes people are just not thinking about other people. And the goal, our personal goal, and like to be more mindful of others.
People exist.
To take that question one step further, is also, which happens quite frequently, when we close the doors and there might be still a customer in the store, somebody outside will knock on the window. Mm-hmm. Hey, I need this one thing. Can you let me in? You know, one or two, it could happen one or two times in a night, or but it happens weekly. It's not a once in a while thing. You know, like they'll literally knock on, hey, can I? And I'm always like, yeah, fine. Come on. Like you have 1 minute. Like literally, like I'm not going to let you like shop the store. You know, I don't say that, but I'm like, yeah, just whatever you need. If you need one thing real quick, go ahead, go get it. But I don't know. I would never knock on a window at a place that was closed to be like, hey, let me in because I need a thing. You know?
Yeah, I wouldn't either. So it always blows my mind. And I often bring this same thing up in therapy. I'll be like, how could people ask me for this? And she goes, they can ask, you can say no. Mm-hmm. Because, right. You know, we can't control people who think that the world bends for them. Mm-hmm. But we can be like, no, that doesn't work. Sorry. Come back tomorrow. Thank you.
Right. But it's also hard with you know, social media and Yelp and right. ratings and reviews, and people are bored and they take to that Yelp man like, you know, nobody's business, and they will, you know.
Well, I do it in the back of my mind because I want to be a nice guy and I want to be a nice, you know, business owner, and I want to like help people. I really do. But there's this tiny part of me that's like, maybe they'll go on and write a nice thing online, you know, instead of like going out and bashing, you know.
No, that's not gonna happen.
Right, exactly. Right. If they didn't, they would. if I didn't let them in, then they would go right.
Yeah. I mean, if we followed it all the way down, like if this person did go on Yelp and complain, you can respond. You came after we were closed. I'm sorry you feel this way. This
yeah, but is you're how time still, works. But it's still happening, you know, and it's still another thing in your life. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want like,
I know, but I feel like you either let them in right. and be okay with it, or you say no.
Right.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm sure that you guys are starting to get, like with Thanksgiving and stuff, you're starting to get a lot of people asking questions about holiday parties, family parties, that kind of stuff. I wanted to sort of just talk about that because it's always a huge bone of contention with whose house you're going to, you know, does your mom have to come? You know, does my mother-in-law have to come? Not in our situation, but in
no.
other situations.
No.
I'm just interested in what kind of questions you guys get about holiday parties, like what kind of scenarios and what are your best, you know, tips or ideas for avoiding horrible, terrible circumstances, saying somebody's wrong name or not remembering somebody or...
I think you're asking them for way too much.
Oh.
This is a hard, I mean, there's no answer to this question, right?
Sure there is.
Holiday parties and family?
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, my first thought in general is just any invitation. So to the holidays, to anywhere, an invitation is not a subpoena. And that's a very famous Miss Manners sort of quote. And so if you don't want to go, you can say no. Like you're not probably obligated to do anything. So if you need to, for whatever reason, you want to bow out, okay. I mean, there could always be consequences by not attending, you know, so there could be fallout or it could change relationships or whatever, but you still don't have to go. So I think that's the first thing to remember is like, you can decline. And when you decline, you don't have to give excuses. You can just say, unfortunately, I can't attend, but thank you so much for the invitation and leave it at that. You don't have to say why.
And that's so hard to do. That doesn't come across as rude.
And it is definitely possible to be polite and set boundaries at the same time. Like these are totally compatible concepts. So if you don't want to attend something for whatever reason, unfortunately I can't attend. But thank you so much for inviting me. And use a tone that's not sort of like, and you know why. You know, just keep it neutral.
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure you guys are not experts in this? I mean, you sound like you know what you're talking about.
Well, we've lived in the world. I've been to weddings. You know, I go to Thanksgiving dinner. So, yeah. And I decline a lot of invitations. And sometimes the reason is I don't want to. I would like to stay home and watch Love Island Australia.
And that's okay, right?
And that's like what I wanted to.
Yeah, of course it's okay.
Yeah, sometimes it's okay just to say no. Why? Because I don't want to. Like, I just want to, you want to watch, you know, whatever. Like,
that is so much easier said than done.
Of course it is.
Well, it takes practice, but it is also more polite on some level than showing up to an event you don't want to be at and being a bad guest. Like, if I'm having a dinner party and you don't want to be there, I would rather you didn't show up than, like, take up a spot that I could give to somebody else who wants to be there.
Or what I'm famous for, which is canceling 15 minutes before you're supposed to be there.
You're famous for that.
A little bit.
Or infamous.
Infamous, right. Probably. Well, I think now people just know. They're like, all right, Danielle responded yes, but there's like a 40% chance she's actually going to come.
Well, I mean, that explains why we haven't had plans in 3 years, right?
That's not true.
We haven't had to worry about dinner
that
plans.
That is not true.
And then there's definitely events that you feel obligated to go to, and you have to go to, and you don't want to be there. And, you know, that's also just being an adult, doing things you don't want to do.
Right. That's there are situations where you just have to like bite the bullet and be like, yeah,
that's kind of it. And yes. And you just tough it out and you be polite and you stick to talking about neutral topics and that's the end of it. But yeah, just, you know, being in uncomfortable situations, learning how to be comfortable being uncomfortable is a really good life skill. And that definitely comes in handy.
Yeah. When our kids were younger, I remember we spoke about this in an episode too. I remember when our kids were really young, we got invited to a family party and it was like around the holidays. It was on a Saturday and it started at 8 with kids. And I was like,
ooh, that's late.
Yeah.
Very late.
And I was
that's
like,
I mean, that's too late for me.
Yeah.
I'm in bed by then.
And I actually RSVP'd and I was like, I have toddlers. There is absolutely no way I can go to a party. Like, I wanted them to know. How do you, like, you have to think about other people when you're, I feel like when you're planning the party too. Like, what, you know, is this going to be convenient for people? And how can I make it more convenient? Like, I feel like sometimes people plan parties and they don't think about how it's affecting, you know, I think about that sometimes with like planning a party, you know, a 40th birthday party when everybody's local and you make it 4 hours away or something. Or like, I think that there's also something to be said on the back end of like, okay, maybe less people will cancel if I make it more, you know, like more comfortable for everybody. And, you know, like even when someone, like when we get invited to a party, like a bar or bat mitzvah or something, and it's like jeans and jerseys, which is what we did for our son, or, you know, something like that, that I'm like, oh my God, I'm so glad I don't have to like put on a dress and stockings. And, you know, I don't know. I think there's something to be said on the back end of like, what can we do to like make this, you know, more palatable for everybody, that they're not going to like be killing themselves that they have to be here for 5 hours in high heels and stockings. And so I don't know. I feel like on the other side, there's stuff that we can do throwing mm-hmm. parties also.
Oh, hosts are not blameless at all. Oh yeah. There's a lot of bad hosts out there. And yeah, you're right. I mean, hosting an event that is inconvenient, or you know is gonna eliminate half your guest list, or is expensive, you know, like destination weddings. If you have a destination wedding, you cannot expect everybody to attend.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we hear from a lot of hosts upset. They're like, oh, such and such in my life couldn't make my destination wedding. And so they're like, well, of course, because that's gonna cost an extra $10,000. Mm-hmm. And like, of course they can't come.
Yeah, but what if it's not even a destination wedding? What if it's something that's 2 hours away and then you have to get a hotel room and then you have to,
That is a destination.
I mean,
that's not an afternoon. Like I need childcare. I need transportation. I have to buy gas. Now there's a hotel, that's inconvenient too. I mean, the rule for weddings with the guest list is you start with the guest list. Who do you want there on that day? Mm-hmm. And then you figure out where is the place I can get all these people at the same time? So if you need your grandmother at your wedding and she can't do stairs, let's say, don't have a wedding at the top of a mountain that requires 100 stairs. Like, that's not a good venue for your wedding, because now this important person you want on your list can't attend. Similarly with the destination wedding. If you have all these people that you know can't afford it, well, then don't have your wedding in St. Bart's.
Mm-hmm. Right.
See, but I feel like that's a great way to not have anybody that you don't want at your wedding
right,
to be
the
at the wedding.
Thing too.
You know?
Well, I mean, a lot of people do have weddings
right.
for this reason in very expensive, far-flung places to eliminate all their guest lists.
Yeah.
That happens.
And COVID has been a great excuse for that, too. About not having too, you know, not inviting too many people, not having too many people, or, you know.
Not going out.
Yeah, the COVID excuse is gone, though. That's, you know.
Well, it's not gone.
But I mean, you can always use it.
Yeah, right. Right. New variant, you know. So. tell everybody like where they can find you, what you have coming up for, you know, around the holidays and everything. And just
wait, before you do that, actually, Lee, I have a question for you. If you can settle a debate between Danielle and I, because I think I know your feelings on this. So I'm the one who took care of birth control for us. So that's me.
Yes.
So Danielle has to do everything else, right?
Yes. You know, that's my rule. Whoever is on birth control is then waived from any house duties.
I just want to make sure Danielle understands that. She doesn't agree, and I know you do. So I just want to make sure.
I definitely do. Okay. I do not clean. I am not shopping. And so equality works in the reverse.
So so whoever is on birth, just to clear this up, whoever is on birth control is off the hook for everything else.
Right.
Everything house related. Yeah. Like, you know.
Oh my God.
So now, I have nothing.
Now I'm going in to get my tubes tied.
It's too late. I can't reverse mine, right? So it's too late.
Well, then we'd have double the.
I just think it counts as housework. I think that's fair. It's a division of labor.
Right.
And one shouldn't be responsible for birth control and do dishes. It's just too much. It knocks a person out.
Now, which of these people has to clean up after sex? the birth control person or the other person?
I think I'm off of all anything in the house. So,
I don't know.
Oh, there was one other thing you guys just recently talked about, which I wanted to touch upon just for a second, where I agree with both of you about the eating alone, going out to eat by yourself. I am a huge advocate of that. I think everybody should do it. I think it's wonderful. It's one of my favorite things to do. As a matter of fact, like once a month or so, and Danielle will come sometimes too, but go to a local restaurant. What's that?
Is that eating alone, or you actually are at separate tables?
Right. So what I usually do, once a month by myself,
is like, all right, have a good meal. See you at the car later.
I'll go to our local restaurant with my computer, which I know one of you said you shouldn't have a computer at the table, maybe, but like
you shouldn't have a Dell desktop.
Okay, that makes sense.
Dot matrix printer.
We said don't bring in the desktop if it has linen on the table.
Is what we said. Fair enough. But like I'll go sit there and do work for like 3 hours and have like a cocktail or four. But you know, just a few hours by myself. Number one, it's to get away, and I can actually get shit done because there's nobody there. That I have, to worry about other things that are happening. There's nobody else around me. I don't have to engage with anybody else while I'm at the restaurant. I don't have to talk to anybody. I can just sit there and do my thing. And then, like I said, Danielle and I make a date out of it too. Once in a while, we do the same thing. We both bring our big, huge Dell desktops and put them on the linen table covers. But it's honestly like, I don't get what's weird about it. I love it. I think it's everybody should go do it.
Some people really feeling comfortable being alone. Mm-hmm.
And okay. A lot of restaurants make solo diners feel very awkward, which is like, oh, table for one. Okay. So, there's a sort of a built-in loneliness aspect to it, which is totally unnecessary. Because I think there's a difference between solitude and loneliness. And I think dining alone is all about solitude.
It's very Walt Whitman throw. Oh my goodness. Henry David Thoreau, Walt Whitman. Let's edit that so people think I'm.
Well, the movies. I want to go to the movies by myself. Like, I'm excited if I get to go to the gynecologist by myself. I mean, there was a time when, I had kids hanging off each leg. So now I'm like, today I went to the dentist. I was so excited. But, I mean, I always say I'm going to go to the movies by myself.
Why is going to the movies alone weird? I think it's weird to talk to somebody when you go with someone.
It's definitely not weird. It's one of my favorite things to do.
It feels weird, though. Like, it feels like you want to be laughing with somebody.
Yet everybody else in the audience.
Everybody else around you. It's a group alone experience. That's what I love about it. You can go alone and you're still in a group. Also, dentist and gyno. That's all you need to hit. That's my personal medical belief. You just catch it at one of the two ends.
Perfect.
That's how that works. I also was rethinking your store. Nick and I always like to come up with all the ideas so I was thinking for your store. So my dad has this apple tree. This gets back to it. And it's on our property, but people come and pick the apples. Like strangers walking down the street. And And we've tried all these different things. So I made him a sign that was it's not funny at all, but it's ridiculous. It says, you can pick your nose, you can pick your friends, but you can't pick my apples. and that way it doesn't feel aggressive, but it's also reminding people, you're walking on to my property just to since they clearly don't have it in their brain.
Right.
Maybe you have a sign that says something. Not that you should have to explain to people that when you're closed, but some kind of sign that's just, on your storefront that's we close it for, because, and then something.
That, because that's how business works.
we have stuff to go to, but not in that.
Because have you seen Gremlins?
Yes, because have you seen Gremlins?
Yes, do not get our staff wet after 5 o'clock.
Just something silly, but as a reminder, hey, we have a life too.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a way to write that sign.
No, I don't know either, but I'm just throwing out ideas
Or you guys just the day after on the front door post pictures of the people who were in past.
Oh, like bad checks?
Yeah, just like people who bounced back yesterday's people. You know, this is like the wall of shame. Here are the people who were here yesterday after closing.
I did that, by the way, we had a ring of thieves coming through our store a few years ago. It was happening a lot. I think it was part of a team of people once, every once in a while. And I would post their pictures. I would from our security camera on the door, so people would see them as they're coming in, and the other people would see, you know, the other people coming in to steal would know what's going on. And yeah, I'm posting pictures of these people.
So what's worse, a shoplifter or somebody who stays past closing?
Really?
I assume it's somebody who stays past four. I have to hang out with them. Or you could say something wild like, oh, feel free to come in, but we have people taking nudes in the back. I don't know what it is. I'm just trying to throw out other options so it wasn't just the one or the other.
Then you just get like a whole bunch of like old gross men coming in. Just the wrong clientele. He sells birthday party supplies.
How about if you electrified the door handle?
I think that's something
that's
that
what
work.
I thought you were gonna say you did to the apple tree. I was super disappointed.
I actually suggested that, and my dad was like a hard no on it.
Oh, see now,
well,
that's no fun.
Baked apples instead of regular
ones. Just because he's the one paying the home insurance doesn't mean that. I think these are all really good ideas. And you can put Mia. We can put our kids in charge.
I'm just gonna put them all up. All the ideas,
right?
All the signs. Let them pick one.
Just take down the help wanted sign.
Right. Or the open sign.
Or you can be like, sure, come in, but do you mind closing up? Because I have to leave.
Right.
That's a great idea. Sure, but clean up in aisle 16 while you're back there. Can you just like, you guys are, I don't know. I think you should start your business podcast. All good. So anyway, tell everybody where they can find you and what you have coming up and everything.
Well, you could definitely find our show, We Raised by Wolves, wherever you get your podcasts, and or online, weraisedbywolves.com, and on all the socials. So yeah, check us out. We got some fun Instagrams happening, and hopefully you like our show and want to tune in, and maybe we'll change your mind about thank you notes.
Okay, listen. I mean, I'm just going to hire somebody to write them for me.
May I just say and this just happened to me, that I was out for lunch with a comic who I don't see often, and she was messaging somebody who is on the other side of the business. And she said, oh, I'm with Leah. And while we were still at lunch, they messaged back and said, oh, Leah, she sent me a thank you note. And I mean, this was like 10 years ago that I
really
sent it. Yes. And he was like, I just found it on my desk, because he saved it. As wow. Nick was saying, so I mean, it does, I know you personally throw them away before you read them, but for a lot of people, they are appreciative that you were appreciative of what they did.
Yeah.
And I was like taken aback that he, and delighted that he still had it, and that's what he remembered. Oh, Leah, she sent me a thank you note.
Yeah.
And he had, you know, fond memories.
Yeah, no, definitely. Listen, I
but
want
as we've
to
established,
be that
you
person.
Don't want to make good memories
for anyone. Right, but I'm not interested in making good memories.
Right.
Hence why we have other people teaching
our kids.
So
it does come full circle and make sense.
To ride a
it
bike
does.
And yes.
Yeah, we don't make nice memories.
No,
we
are not interested in that. But
okay. I feel like those people are just starting fires wherever they are. Just
yeah. Community Facebook pages are literally the worst place on earth. I mean,
I've exited the one that I was in.
Yeah, they should not be called community Facebook pages. It should just be like, we're going to fucking trash you if you post here. And that's just what we're sitting here. Like, I feel like they're like sitting there behind the desk, like Mr. Burns.
Well,
like,
every communication that's on there, somebody always posts that GIF of like a deer eating popcorn or something. Like there's a GIF
yes.
like that. Just like they're just sitting there watching. No, there is one like that's a deer.
Oh.
One's the Michael Jackson in the Thriller.
Oh,
right.
There's
like 100 of them. There's, you know, but because every situation has that going on.
I know. Yeah, no, it's really upsetting. But and Leah, do you have any more comedy stuff coming up that everybody should know about?
I do. I'm about to go back on the East Coast. I try to keep my. That's not true. My website calendar is not updated, but I do keep my shows up on my Instagram, which is at Leah Bonema.
Awesome. Where on the East Coast are you going to be?
I'm going to go stay with my parents in Maine for a month.
Oh.
And then I will be in New Jersey in Atlantic City, and I'll be in Portland, Maine, and Burlington, Vermont.
Awesome.
Excuse to go to Atlantic City.
Good excuse to go to Atlantic City. Yeah,
I love a slot machine.
We're about we're about an hour away from Atlantic City. Yeah.
Hour and 34 minutes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hour and 34
Give or take.
Minutes. Yeah.
Give or take. Well, thank you guys so much. This was fun. You guys are great. And I'm definitely going to...
Write your thank yous from our wedding.
Yeah. I think maybe now I'll finally... We just celebrated our 20-year anniversary.
And, congratulations. You know, oh, that's a big one.
Thank you. But, you know, I mean, there are definitely... Well, actually, I did have somebody, because I'm so bad at keeping lists of thank yous, I remember somebody calling me and being like, you sent me a thank you, but you already sent me a thank you. I had sent two thank yous, but then there were probably like more people who didn't get any thank yous.
Well, that counts. It cancels one out.
Exactly.
I think it's fair.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I want to be that person who
sends
things.
No, you don't. And you don't have to.
I guess.
No.
Yeah, I guess it's too late now.
Oh, it's never too late.
No.
I got a video thank you from a friend, which I loved, which I think is like, you know, she just talked into it. She did a little fun thing. She messaged it to me. So, I mean, there are options.
Okay. All right. Video message.
Sure. He kind of sang a little bit. You know what I mean? It was just very, it delighted me.
That is nice. It. And you can keep that too.
I can keep it on my phone, which I did. And I'm going to bring it back later when I'm feeling down.
Aw, nice. All right, guys. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
This is great.
Yeah. Now I have 1,000 more topics to go through. So we'll do it up and again sometime.
We're here when you need us.
Thanks, guys.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.